email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 5 on ray@rte.ie. Now we're 1 week into the Euros. Last night, England were booed off after they drew with Denmark, and Italy were less than stylish when they were beaten 1-0 by a Spanish side that looked the real deal. And we decided, since it's a quarter way through, we talked to Eamon Dunphy. Good afternoon, Eamon.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
What do you think of my assessment there? I wrote that script myself.
Yes, very good. I think you're right. England were terrible. And they did get booed off the pitch. They are, you know, one of the favourites to win the tournament because they draw their players more or less from the strongest league in Europe, the most competitive and intense league, the Premier League. So, and they have a lot of very good young players. So it's not surprising that they're favourites, but then in their own head, they're always overrated, and the fans expect a lot, the media expect a lot, and when it was a very, very poor performance yesterday, and they got hammered and deserved it. One thing I should say, the pitch was terrible. It wasn't safe, and that's no excuse, because it's the same for both teams, but it certainly was a factor in the match.
So, Eamon, they're less than the sum of their parts by a long shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. They have outstanding players. You know, Jude Bellingham is one of the best young players in Europe, won the Champions League with Real Madrid. Phil Foden plays for Manchester City. They've a lot of big, big players. Harry Kane is playing for Bayern Munich now. He got subbed yesterday, which was amazing. He's England's captain. And he's a great goal scorer, scored a goal yesterday. But they don't have... The coach has not produced a team that know what they're doing. They don't know what they're actually doing. They don't play with intensity. It isn't enough to pick a lot of outstanding players. You have to pick a team. And what you see with England is a lot of outstanding players who are not used to, you know, each other.
Yes.
And therefore they can't be a team. You know, they need to be a team. You need to be better than the sum of your parts.
And Spain were very much that, weren't they? Spain looked very good.
Yeah, they're a very good team. Yeah, they are, and they've got a 16-year-old in it who's doing the Spanish equivalent of his leaving cert, and he's studying at night, which is really very nice. But he's a brilliant player.
You mean Lamal, and he's on he's on the right wing, and then Williams is on the left. He's a spectacular player as well.
Better last night. He was superb. Yeah, Lamal plays for Barcelona. They have a young guy called Pedri who plays in midfield. He plays for Barcelona, and you know they have very, very good players right through their team. Very experienced players as well, and they looked impressive against Italy last night, who don't look great.
Well, that's what I was going, my next question was, were they flattered by how poor Italy were?
Well, I wouldn't say they were flattered, but they got the job done, and they were unlucky not to win by more than the odd goal. Yes, I think they have sterner tests ahead, and Germany will be one of those tests. England, I don't think England are going to really take off, but they only have to, they have a very easy game, Slovenia, on Tuesday, and they should top their group, which is a help, and they could catch fire, England. They certainly have quality players all over the pitch, but they were so bad yesterday, it's impossible to believe they'll do it. France are playing tonight against the Netherlands. That's a big game. Mbappe broke his nose the other night. There's some talk of him playing in a mask.
I'm looking at a picture of him now in the mask. He looks like some sort of Marvel superhero. Well, he is. He's a footballer superhero, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's going to Real Madrid. He's left PSG. He's gone to Real Madrid. He's made a lot of money out of the game already, but he is 25. He's gone to Real Madrid. I get the feeling that he won't want to, as it were, take any risks.
Yes, yeah.
And I'd be surprised, in a way, if he plays tonight. I got my nose broken, and it actually is a very dangerous injury because you have to get it reset properly.
And you didn't get it reset for years. I remember having this chat with you because you got it broken at Millwall.
It was a Saturday, and we were playing Bristol City, would you believe, about 3 or 4 days later. And the doctor said to me in the hospital, if you don't get this reset properly now, you'll have terrible trouble later on in your life.
Yeah.
One nostril won't be able to breathe.
A deviated
septum.
And I said,
I've got to play against Bristol City.
Yeah.
So I played against Bristol City, didn't get it set properly, and I'm suffering now.
Yeah, it's a deviated septum.
I swear, that's a true story.
It is. No, I know.
I'm mad.
Yeah, yeah. But you can't
play against Bristol City.
But here's the thing, Eamon, and I said this to you before, that I sound like your doctor here, but what they do is they re-break it, reset it. It happened to me because my nose was a bit out of kilter because of an old rugby injury. anyway, I was running into the AFM one of the days and I tripped over a half-taken down pole and I broke it again. But actually, it's been better since because I suffered with sinus before the fall and now I haven't suffered with sinus since.
It's important to get it done.
Done, yeah.
And I wasn't Kylian Mbappe. So I think he'll take wiser counsel and may not play tonight. But...
So the Netherlands is his Bristol, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
Bristol City.
He's worth about 500 million, and he's going to Madrid.
Spectacular, isn't it?
Where he'll earn. He is an extremely wealthy young man, and he's extremely intelligent. I wasn't wealthy or very intelligent.
Ah, no, we'll get the latter. We'll give you the latter, Eamon.
it was a stupid thing to do.
And do you have sinus, is it? Is it sinus that you're affected with? Is that
sinus, but also your breathing. If you're running or, as I do, working out, you've only got one nostril working.
Right. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny.
It is funny. What's interesting about it is how a nothing championship match, as it would be today, can... against Bristol City
from
Millwall can become more important than the rest of your life.
Yeah, there you go. It's more important than that, isn't that? A bit of the same. Football isn't life or death. It's more important than that. Who was that?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was Danny Blanchard, who nobody will remember, but he was one of the great and wisest men of English football. He was in Northern Ireland. Danny Blanchard, captain Spurs to win the double. A very, very great player, but a great thinker. And I think that was one of his...
While you're up there, while you're north of the border, you were writing there back in May about the Irish manager's job, and you mentioned Kieran McKenna, who brought Ipswich Town into the Premier League. He wasn't mentioned at all in all the dispatches.
No, and he got Ipswich into the Championship from the lower Division 2.
Yeah.
And then he got them up into the Premier League. And because he's from Tyrone, which apparently is the wrong side of some border, the FAI didn't bother offering him the job. He wouldn't have probably taken it anyway because what they're offering in salary isn't worth the hassle.
What are they offering? Do you know what they're offering?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, 600, between 600,000 and 700,000.
Right.
Now, you know, in top managers' terms, we're talking millions. And Trapattoni, when he was manager, was earning way over a million.
Yeah, but that was subsidised by Dennis O'Brien, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, come back, Dennis. you worked for Dennis.
As you did.
We all worked for Dennis at some stage. In Today FM.
Yeah, yeah.
But before you hit the jackpot.
That's hilarious, Eamon. That is the funniest thing you've said in a long time.
The jackpot.
The jackpot, yeah. Oh, you're a very funny man. Just before we leave the football, just go back to England. And a lot of the commentators are saying that there's a weight of expectation on their shoulders. That's not a good enough excuse, is it?
It's not really. There is an awful weight of expectation on their shoulders. It is when you don't, when you're a player, because you're wearing the shirt and you're out on the pitch. Gareth Southgate, their coach, is a very nice man, very intelligent man, but he has not ever really been successful as a manager at club level. And you do need to create a vibe in your squad. It's an international squad that's like a club vibe. Yeah. And you have an identity. They didn't press. There was no intensity in their play yesterday.
So
they were looking for a leader. And Harry Kane is their leader, but he's playing up front. You need a player in midfield at the back. You need intensity. You need to make tackles. And the other thing, Ray, is they're afraid of their own media. They're afraid of the papers in England, which this morning has destroyed them.
They've gobbled them up,
Yeah, and you carry that fear and that sense of inhibition. And if you watch them playing, I mean, Phil Foden, for example, is a great young player playing for Manchester City. And he's visibly shrinks when he pulls on that England shirt. Jude Bellingham won't shrink. He's a really top player, a very intelligent young man.
But Eamon, if you've been booed by your own fans, who outnumbered the Danish, I think 3-1 or something like that, that gets into your head. There's no way of avoiding
that. It does, it does. And the pressure is unreal. Yeah. And the English fans and English newspapers think that they are the best in the world. They're not.
But do they not
they have to prove that?
Do the fans and the media not have the collective intelligence to know that if you want anybody to do something and achieve, that what they're doing is the wrong way to do it? By booing their team and criticising them and all that sort of thing.
They look at the players and they see what they do. I mean, Phil Foden plays for Manchester City.
Yeah.
Kyle Walker, the right back, Manchester City. Jude Bellingham, Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Harry Kane, Bayern Munich. I mean, compared to Denmark, these are superstars. But when you put 11 superstars together, that doesn't necessarily work.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
The stand is still flying it.
We're okay.
You're the most prolific podcaster in the country, Eamon.
Well, I'm glad. Because I enjoy it.
You were there at the start.
Fine.
You were there. Pardon? You were there at the start before everybody and their mother had a podcast. Yes, you were.
Yeah,
doing
we
it,
were. Yeah. Not exactly at the start.
No, I know.
We've been doing it now for 6-7 years.
Yeah, well,
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I like to work. I like radio. I'm essentially podcasting is like radio. So yeah, we're grand. We're doing really well, and I work for Star as well. Right. Yeah.
And do you ever think about the R word at all?
Well, what would I be doing all day? I'd be getting up to mischief with Stuart Carlin and you. I kind of
idle hands
do
and all
what
that.
I mean, my brain still functions.
Yeah.
So why would you hang around all day reading the papers or? You know, I think as long as you have the energy and your head's okay, why not work?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really accept the idea.
Here's a big question for you, Eamon Dunphy. Do you think you need a platform? You know, is that part of who you are to be able to express your opinions publicly?
Am I opinionated? No. I don't judge anybody.
Yeah.
You know me. You saw me every day.
Yes, yeah.
I'm a messer and I'm easygoing.
Yeah.
No, I don't. No, and I don't really. It's part of the job. It's a bit of fun sometimes. No, I don't. I mean, am I an exhibitionist, is what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm not saying that at all. No, the question was more that, you read the papers and you have an analytical mind and do you need somewhere just to express your opinions or your analysis about what's going on?
But certainly I'd have an opinion about the media and about newspapers and radio and television. So I think there's a way of doing things right. And if you do things right, you'll engage the audience.
As you do.
And that's what you should be doing. Yeah, yeah. And as long as you can do it. I mean, but I don't sort of... I'm not an attack dog.
Yeah.
It just happens. And we don't... I mean, I don't... duff up the guests or anything like that.
No, because a lot of the guests are people who are like-minded, aren't they? Really, I know you had Pascal Donohue on this week, but normally there would be fellow journalists, and you would be going through a story in detail.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't like the soundbite stuff. I mean, if there's big stories out there, right, the Ukraine,
yes,
what's happening in. The Middle East with Israel and in Gaza and Palestinians. The world is changing. It's getting darker. The bad guys appear to be winning. So there are very, very big stories out there and people see them. And what we try and do, and we have some very good contributors, is get the best people to give their take on it and express their opinion. So I think it's a very interesting time in Ireland as well to be a journalist.
Yeah.
There are big stories. There's no shortage of stories.
And you do them well. Right, so. You do them well, as you always...
We do our best.
Yes, you do them well.
Yeah.
They're saying it was Bill Shankly, just for your information, who said that some people believe football is a matter of life and death. I'm very disappointed
That's
with
right.
that attitude.
Yeah,
I can assure
yeah,
you it is much more important than that. Yeah. so just so you know.
Yep.
Right, Eamon, listen, great talking to you. Say hello to Jane for us. Yeah, and enjoy the rest of the Euro. Another 3 weeks of football on the telly. And The Stand is available wherever you get your podcast. Eamon Duffy, thank you.
Thanks, Ray. It's a pleasure to talk to you always.
Bye.
Bye.
See you, Eamon.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.